We'll read that particular verse, but then we'll make reference to some of the other verses in Joshua. In Joshua, I won't have us read all of those verses. Hebrews 11:31, this is what it says. By faith, the harlot, some translation says what? Prostitute. It's all right for y'all to say it. You know. By faith, the harlot or the prostitute Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. By faith, the harlot or the prostitute Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. If you just read that by itself without going to look and see what Rahab's story, then it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. By faith, the prostitute Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. Who are those who did not believe? When she had received the spies. What spies? You have to look at the backstory, and the backstory is found in Joshua chapter 2. Amen? Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk about today a faith for people like me. A faith for people like me. A faith for people like you. A faith for people like me. We're going to be looking at the story of a woman named Rahab. Rahab is mentioned among all the other names. Noah, Moses, Enoch, Abel, Abraham, mentioned along all these other names in this faith hall of fame. And with all these juggernauts of the gospel, with all these people, these men, these significant men, and even Sarah, who is mentioned as well, these people who have done significant things throughout the scripture, then comes the mention of this woman named Rahab. It wouldn't stand out that much. It wouldn't be that big of a deal. I mean, if that she did something great, she did something significant, that's wonderful. But the point of putting her in there that is so significant is that Rahab was a prostitute. And why is that significant, my brothers and sisters? It's significant because it shows us that even though God is allowing the writer to list all these different people, these different personalities, these different people that did significant things, Enoch and Abel and all of these different folks, he made sure that there was an inclusion of somebody that people who are reading this would say, how in the world did she make it into this list? And that's significant because when we're studying this, when we're reading this, we can look at this and see the story of Noah and the story of Moses and the story of Abraham and have a tendency to disconnect ourselves from it because we could say, well, I don't know anything about building an ark. I don't know anything about leaving a place that I didn't know and going to a place that God would tell me. I don't know anything about being translated and taken away and not experiencing death like Enoch. But many of us, most of us, I dare say even all of us, can relate to a woman named Rahab. Okay, you're looking at me strange. You're like, hold on, where you going with this, Reverend? Because you're about to insult me. And I want you to turn to your neighbor. I want you to turn to your neighbor on your left and your right and say, neighbor, you look like Rahab. Don't slap nobody. Don't slap them. Don't slap them. But I'm telling you, I'm looking out into the congregation, and you can look out to me, and looks like some folks look like Rahab. We look like Rahab. You ever went to a family reunion and at the family reunion you see Pookie them, you see all your relatives and this and that, aunties, uncles, and there's always that one relative. Well, maybe that's just my family. I think I got several of them, but there's always that one relative that when that one relative comes, you know it's going to be a show. You know, after a couple of drinks, you know Uncle So-and-so is going to go into his routine, and he's going to be funnier than Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy rode into one. You know that there's that one relative, or you know that there's that one relative that everybody is going, look at her. And they're talking about her under their breath. There's that one. Well, in the lineage of Jesus, there are great names that are attached to Jesus' name. But then there's that one relative named Rahab. Oh, y'all didn't know that. Rahab is related to Jesus. And so it's important for us to look at this and see how significant her life is, that she would be named among the patriarchs. She would be named among all these people who did great and significant things. And yet the writer of Hebrews says, and there was a woman named Rahab, a prostitute, who did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. You have to go back to Joshua chapter 2. In Joshua chapter 2, let me set the stage for it. Joshua is the successor to Moses. Joshua is not even mentioned in Hebrews 11. Y'all missing this. Listen, Joshua is not even mentioned in Hebrews 11. It tells the story in Hebrews 11 about the children of Israel conquering a city named Jericho. Jericho is closed in by a wall that has depth and has height in it so that it protects itself from enemy attack. And Joshua and the Israelites have to take the city of Jericho, but they do not know how to get past the wall. The wall is so deep, the wall is so high, that people literally have homes on the walls and businesses on the wall. And this prostitute named Rahab is one of those people. Now, why in the world would she have her business on the wall? Because she wanted to make sure that people who were traveling by were able to benefit. I'm going to keep it PG. That they got some rest. Amen. They got some rest. And so she has her business on the wall of Jericho. It is so interesting that in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer does not talk about Joshua, the successor of Moses, who did some fantastic things and is literally the one that ushered the children of Israel into the promised land. He don't talk about him. He talks about an episode in the life of Joshua and the Israelites when they would not be able to advance, when they would not be able to do what God had called them to do if it had not been for a prostitute named Rahab. And that's significant, my brothers and sisters, because it shows us that no matter who you are, no matter how insignificant somebody may call you or people may think of you, you too can be used by God to change the course of history. And that's important, because Rahab shows us that in Joshua chapter 2, this is what happens. They are advancing upon Jericho. Joshua sends some spies to go check out Jericho to see if there are any weaknesses or any ways for them to be able to take the city. The two spies don't go to the Chamber of Commerce of Jericho. They don't go to the Tourist Bureau of Jericho. Why? Because they're spies. They would be known that they are looking at the land, casing the land, and they would be killed. Instead of them doing that, they go to another place. They go to Rahab's house. They go to Rahab's house because by going to Rahab's house, they would be thought of as just travelers just along the journey getting their rest. Amen, amen. Getting a rest. And so it didn't seem that bad. It didn't cause any red flags until later on that these two men that are traveling along would go to this woman's house named Rahab. So they go to the woman's house, and Rahab then begins to work with these two spies to help them to accomplish their goal. That's the story. And so we look at Joshua chapter 2. There's some things that take place. And some things that I think we can learn from Rahab. Again, you and I, we are just like Rahab. Even though some of us have not had that type of situation, that type of profession. I don't know if you have or not. But here, listen, it don't even matter. And listen, we're not here to judge you even if you did. It's not about that, because this right here shows that God is the one that's in control. And even if you had a scandalous lifestyle, it does not matter in the eyes of God once you put your trust in Jesus Christ. First of all, what do we learn from Rahab? What we learn from Rahab is can be summed up in this quote. Real faith is when real people with real issues place their trust in a real God. Man, I could close up and go home right there. That's right there. Real faith is when real people with real ish. Any real people in here? Yeah. With real ish. Okay, on this side. It's only on this side. Y'all right here. The Lord is going to rain down on you right. Okay, real people with real issue. Anybody got some real issue? Because if you don't have enough, I got several that I can let you borrow. Real issues, when they place their trust in a real God. Anybody know anything about a real God? Because when your real issues match up with a real God, he's really good about handling your situation. Real faith is when real people with real issues place their trust in a real God. There's some things we can learn from Rahab, because this is exactly what she did. First of all, we can learn some things about how you and I can relate to Rahab. Don't turn to your neighbor and say it again, but I'm telling you, the person sitting next to you, the person sitting behind you, is very similar to Rahab. How do we know that? First of all, she had a lifestyle that was sinful. Let the church say sinful. It's right there. The Bible tells us. The Bible doesn't hold any punches. It tells us straight up by faith. The prostitute, that's it. I mean, it says it right there. Listen, scholars will try to work around this thing. There's been some folks that have tried to work around it and suggest that that word harlot or that word prostitute in the ancient times simply means that she was an innkeeper. That she was someone who ran a hotel, basically, where the travelers can get rest. Now, listen, that is a plausible way of trying to suggest that God only uses holy people. But that's not consistent with the scriptures that I read, because he uses some jacked up folks all throughout the scripture. And so if the Bible says prostitute, then that's what I'm going to believe, that that's what she was. It's not about her being sugar-coated and saying, no, she is an innkeeper that was simply owning a hotel. No, she was a prostitute. She was a prostitute. And it's amazing, my brothers and sisters, when you begin to listen to people preach and teach, when you begin to read certain things, be very careful in how people will try to water things down or try to color it a certain way because they try to fit it into a certain box. Isn't the very purpose of the gospel to show us that God loves you just as you are? So what's wrong with Rahab being a prostitute? Well, there's a whole lot wrong with it, but what's wrong with us admitting that God used her Amen. To do something significant. How do we know? Look at Joshua chapter 2. It's on your paper. This is what it reads. It says, then the woman took the two men and hid them. Hid the two spies that I told you about. And she said, yes. This is when the king of Jericho comes and asks her, have you seen these two men? Where are these two men? Bring them out. And she says to him, yes, the men came to me. She just admitted, they were on the list. Yeah, they're in my books. But I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. We learned a lot about Rahab, that she led a lifestyle that was sinful, because first of all, we know that she was a lustful woman. Lustful. There's no question about the fact that she was a prostitute. Number two, we learned a lot about her sinful lifestyle because she was a lying woman. We just read it. What she does, the king comes to her and says, do you know where these men are? And she says, I don't even know where they came from. Well, you would have to go back and read the verses prior to that, or the verses that come immediately following that, to know she does know exactly where they came from. She knows a whole lot about them. And then she says something else. She says, where the men went, I do not know. At the time she's speaking, she had hid them on a roof. She knew exactly where they were. So this brings up a theological dilemma. That God would use a woman named Rahab that was lustful and a liar. Wait a minute. She not only was lustful and a liar, she also looked out for herself. Because the Bible tells us she strikes up a deal with the men. When the king leaves, she strikes up a deal. Say, look at here. This is what I want you to do. I want you to save all my people. Me and my folks. If I do for you what you're asking, then you need to save us. So she was lustful. She was lying. Woman. She looked out for herself. But when we look at this, we have the dilemma that God would use somebody like that. Because he used somebody like that to protect the spies that came from Israel. He used somebody like that to be able to allow them to gain access to Jericho and be able to win the victory. He used someone like that. Do you have a problem with that? I hope not. Because every time God uses any one of us, he uses a person like that. Let me go back. She was a lustful woman. Maybe you didn't operate in lust the way she did. She profited from her lust. You did it for free. I did it for free. And I'm looking at Rahab like, dang, Rahab was smart. Listen, I did some stuff for free that I'm not proud of. I did some stuff that didn't gain me access to anything relevant, anything that would push me forward for the kingdom. I didn't do anything worthwhile in some regards. And here's Rahab doing some things that propelled her toward the kingdom. That's a dilemma. She was a lying woman. She lies 2 times. God using her, she lied. Okay. I know no one in here under the sound of my voice has ever lied. Amen. Amen. None of us have ever lied, or none of us have ever had the desire to lie or to cover up our wrongdoing. None of us. No, none of. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't. Just look straight ahead. Just look straight ahead. Just. None of us have ever found ourselves in a predicament which we had to say a certain thing a certain way because we didn't want to get certain results. That's what she's doing. I am not justifying her lying. Not justifying her lust. I just want you to see that again, folks will try to sugarcoat this and suggest she did something that was a war tactic. She had to make sure that she protected the spies and she did such and such. Listen, she lied. She lied. Stop sugarcoating it. She lied. Because the beauty of this story is that God takes her from one place in her life to another place. You can relate to Rahab, can't you? Maybe you didn't exercise lust in that way. Now remember, lust is not always sexual. It's not always about sex. You could be lusting after money. You could be lusting after your job. You could be lusting after that bottle. You could be lusting after a whole lot of stuff. So don't point a finger at Rahab and say, ooh, she was a prostitute. She got paid for what she did. Some of us did the stuff for free. She was a lying woman. And the truth be told, if we really go back and evaluate some of the things that have come forth from our mouths, sometimes you can find yourself lying before you even think to protect yourself. And it is not justification for it. She was wrong. She was wrong. She did have a life that was sinful. She was lustful. She was lying. But listen, this is the third one. This is the third one. She looked out for herself. Sure, she had a business. She was a prostitute. She had a business. She had a business on the wall. She entertained men when they came around. She looked out for herself. But upon closer examination, it's pretty evident that this was a woman that did not only look out for herself, but looked out for others as well. Yeah. So we can't just point a finger at her and say, ugh, look at her. And that's why we've got to be so doggone careful to not judge folks because of the way that they are or the things that they are doing, the lifestyle that they are living. You've got to be very, very careful because there's some folks that are living in sin that are doing stuff much better than folks that are in church. Look what she's doing. Let me help you with that. By having a business on the wall, she had income. By having that income, it is suggested that in this particular area or region that Rahab actually probably was the breadwinner of her family. So guess what? She took care of her family. And sometimes the people of the world are wiser than the people of God. Because Rahab not only was taking care, she did only things she knew. She used what she had, and she took care of her family. How do we know she took care of her family? Because when the opportunity came for her to get out of that lifestyle, when the opportunity came for her life to turn around, she did not say, I'm going to do it, and they're just me. She said, save my mother, my father, my brothers, my sisters, save my entire family. So she didn't just look out for herself. She was concerned about others. She had a lifestyle that was sinful because she lived a life of lust, lived a life she even lied, and at times looked out for herself. But we see a glimmer of hope because she recognized an opportunity to change not only her life, but the life of those around her. Let me say this to you, Breakthrough. Be very careful how you point fingers at someone else. That person that's on the street may be the very person that saves your life. That family member that you think is just down and out, you just cast them out and say, forget it. That may be the very person that you need in the future. Be careful. Be careful. She had a lifestyle that was sinful. You and I can relate to that because we've been in that before we met Christ, before we turned our lives over to him, before we began to live for him, should I say. Before we began to live for him, we led a lifestyle that was sinful. Now, I hope we're beyond this. Because the second thing that we see about Rahab is that she was led to salvation. She was led to salvation. Look at verses 10 through 13 of Joshua chapter 2. It says this. This is what Rahab says to the spies. She basically is saying to them, I want you to know that I know who you are. And I'm going to do everything that I can to help you. Because listen, in verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to the two kings of the Amorites. They had been in battles before and they had whooped everybody's tail. And they were saying, we heard about it. Verse 11, as soon as we heard about these things, look at this, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. Look at what she says. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Look at Rahab. She says, now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. And spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. She was led to salvation. How was she led to salvation? First and foremost, she tells us, she testifies right there. She says that she heard about God. Let the church say she heard about God. That's the way. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. You've got to hear about God before you turn your life to him or turn towards him. You've got to hear about him in the sense of this. This is what Rahab is saying. We've heard about God. I've heard about him. I heard what he is capable of. I heard who you all are and that you represent him. I've heard about him, and there's something about what I heard that has intrigued me. That is why it's important for you to remember that as a believer, you need to make sure that you are exposing yourself to hearing the word of God. Not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday. You need to read your word. You need to study your word on a daily basis. Why? Because Sunday's message may not necessarily deal with Thursday's problem. But when you are reading your word and studying your word and having time with God, God will speak to you if you listen. She heard about God. And for those of us who came out of sin, who came out of darkness, we had to hear about it. We heard mama talking about God. We heard daddy talking about God. We heard grandma talking about God. We heard granddaddy. We heard the preacher. We heard folks talking about God. We heard it. We may have been bored out of our mind. We may have fallen asleep. If you were like me, I used to leave and go. I walked around for offering. I would walk out. Me and my cousin go walk across to the corner store, buy some candy, and then be back before church was out. but I heard the word. I knew not to leave before I heard that word. And it took me a minute to get back. And it's amazing because hearing the word, even though I heard the word and then I stepped out, it's amazing because it's the word that brought me back. And it's amazing that when the word brought me back, God put the word inside of me. And now he said, now go and tell the word that you have heard. She heard about God. But then secondly, listen, it's fine to hear it. But then secondly, she believed what she heard.
Yeah.
Because you can hear, the devil hears the word. People hear the word, but not everyone believes what they hear. And you have to make a decision to believe what you hear, and that's faith. She heard about God. She believed what she heard. It says right there in her testimony that when they heard it, their hearts melted. Your heart don't melt if you're not believing something. You must believe something and your heart melts. Okay, let me see if I can make it a little more plain. When you believe that someone likes you, your heart melts. Ooh, she liked me, she called me, and ooh, and sent me a couple of texts, and you believe, your heart melts for that person. So when you hear the word of God and you believe it, it should do something to you. It should make you want to draw closer to him. She heard about God. She believed what she heard. But then the third thing is she responded to what she heard. She says, now that I've heard, now that I've told you that I believe, spare my father. She was telling this to the spies. Now listen, and you and I, when we accept the Lord, when we walk in him, when we put our faith in him, place our trust in him, we are responding to what the word says. Spare me. Save my soul. Help me, Lord. Rahab is saying, please don't let destruction come upon me. She was led to salvation. She heard the word. She believed what she heard. And she responded to what she heard. Come here and let me ask you a question. It's great that you're sitting here, you're listening to the word. I'm not even sure if 100%, and I don't know who is or not, but if 100% of us, when we hear the word on Sunday, actually believe it. Because if you hear it and if you believe it, you can't help but respond to it. In other words, if you hear it and you believe it, it should do something to you. It should cause you to go into action. Something should happen as a result of you hearing and believing the word. When you were led to salvation, you believed that Jesus loves you and that he'll take you as you are. So you responded by walking down the aisle at church, or by telling the preacher, I want to be saved, or by praying that prayer and saying, Lord, I confess all my sins. You responded. But what about you as a believer now? When you hear the word, do you believe it? And are you responding to it? You look like Rahab. Because she had a lifestyle that was sinful. But she was led to salvation. But here is the third and final thing. She was linked to the Savior. She was linked to the Savior. When you put your faith, your trust in Christ, you become a part of his family. And that's a good thing. Look at what it says in verse 17. In verse 17 of chapter 2, of Joshua chapter 2. It says this. The men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours which you have made us. He said, we agree to this arrangement. We won't destroy your family. But look at what he says. But this is the way that your family will be saved. When you tie this scarlet cord and hang it out the window, then we will know not to come to your house. We'll know. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. Look at what he's saying. The spies are making reference to something that was familiar to them. Back in Egypt, when God sent that final plague, the death angel, to free Israel from Egypt. He told Moses to tell everybody to place lamb's blood over the doorpost of their homes. That way they knew the death angel would pass over, and that's where we get the term Passover from when you see that in the scripture. It's talking about the death angel would pass over that particular house because it would see the identifying marker, which was the red blood. And so when the spies are telling Rahab to hang this red scarlet cord out the window, it is symbolic of being covered by the blood. And because the blood is covering that household, the spies, when the army comes in, they'll be able to identify and see that. They'll be reminded of the blood that was over the households. And they'll know not to destroy Rahab's house. And here's why that's so significant. Because she was identified with the Savior. The red scarlet and the doorposts in Exodus, and when they came out of Egypt, this is a pointer. It is reflective of what Christ Jesus did, that you and I, because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross, because of that now covers us. And now the judgment of God passes over us, if you will, because we are covered by the blood. And so she was identified with the Savior. But then look at what she does. She invited others to be saved. It was her responsibility to call up her mother, father, brothers, sisters, and tell them, you need to get into the house. You need to get under the covering. Good God, look at Rahab. This is the type of person that God will use to do significant things. Somebody that even though she had a scandalous past, even though she was caught up in different things, she had the sense and she knew that she had to invite her friends and her family to into the house under the covering so that they too would not be destroyed, but they would be saved as well. Are you still looking like Rahab? We all had sinful lifestyles. Many of us in here have been led to salvation. But the truth be told, are we linked to the Savior? Have you been identified with Jesus? Is the blood of Christ covering you? Are you inviting others to come under the covering? Inviting others to receive salvation? Here's what I mentioned earlier, but here's another significant thing about Rahab. She was included in the Savior's family. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, it gives the list of Jesus' relatives. It gives a list. And so what happened to Rahab, it tells us something, that Rahab, once the soldiers of Israel came in and took over Jericho, something happened to Rahab. Rahab's life changed forever. The Bible tells us that she hooked up with a Jewish man named Salmon. Salmon and Rahab had a baby named Boaz. Boaz hooked up with a woman named Ruth. That's another book in the Bible right there. Y'all go, when you go and look at the book of Ruth, you'll see a name named Boaz. Boaz's mama was Rahab. Why is that significant? Because Ruth is the great-grandmother to a man named David. David. Now we're starting to get a little familiar with David, who was a shepherd boy, became king, the second king of Israel after Saul. David was the greatest king, and one of the greatest kings. David is the one whose lineage was promised. David is the one whose lineage produced Jesus Christ. So this woman, this prostitute named Rahab, is linked to the Savior of the world. How does that play out with you and I? It helps us to see that God is not concerned or intimidated or thrown off by your scandal. In fact, it makes you a likely candidate for God to step in and do something that'll bring himself some glory. That don't mean that you go out and be as bad as you possibly can be, because then God will use you. No, don't tempt and test God like that. But somebody here today, you need to know that your past does not exclude you from a bright, bright future. God can use you even with your stuff. God can use this prostitute named Rahab and include her in Jesus' family lineage. God can use a drug addict and turn you into a counselor. God can use an abuser and turn you into someone who is gentle. God can use you no matter what your past. Don't ever let Satan tell you that because of the things that you've done, because of the things that you used to do, the way you used to think, that God can no longer use you. Whenever Satan throws that up in your face, you need to say, But Rahab gives me strength to know that God can forgive me no matter what I've done. So, isn't it powerful that this woman is named among the great patriarchs? Named along with Sarah, who had a baby at 90 years old. But here's this prostitute, Rahab. Because God is saying to us, don't you ever point a finger at somebody and forget what he's done for you. Faith, real faith, is a faith for people like you and me. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.